compelling insights, unpredictable conversations, encouragement for your day. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio.
We are back. This is the Patrick Madrid Show. The number to call to be on the air is 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. We're in the final stretch of Advent before we get to the Christmas season. And I hope this has been a spiritually productive Advent for you. And even if it hasn't up to this point, there's still time. You can still press reset. And for the next 4 or 5 days, you can get into the preparation spirit. Did you know, Cyrus, that Advent also, like Lent, is a time of penance? It's not as pronounced.
Because of you, I can say I did.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, everybody's favorite word, right? Penance. Yay. Fasting. Yay. Yeah. But I think people tend to be so busy with shopping and preparing for the holiday that sometimes that can slip through the cracks. So just here to remind you.
Do people ever, have you gotten any Merry Christmases yet? You know, when you're out at a store or a grocery store? Or are they saying Happy Holidays?
I personally, it doesn't matter to me which one they say, because holidays is just the Anglicization of Holy Day. And the origin of holidays is Holy Days. So when somebody says Happy Holidays, I'm cool with that, because whether they realize it or not, they're saying Happy Holy Days, and these are the holy days of the birth of Jesus, the High Holy Days.
Yeah, I did not know that. That's really interesting. So, yeah. When I was growing up, it was
what happens when you listen to the Patrick Madrid Show? You never know.
You learn something new every day.
So tell me about your youth.
Okay, when I was a kid, everyone said Merry Christmas all the time. And then as I got older, was it 10, 15 years ago, Merry Christmas was replaced with Happy Holidays. And there was, I remember there being a big stink about it. And, you know, they're taking Christ out of Christmas and stuff like that. But
you know, that doesn't bother me at all.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like I'm deflating your balloon here.
No.
Did you have something you wanted?
Well, I did. So I was going through old audio. I used to work on Morning Air years and years ago. And I was just going through old Christmas shows. And I found something that Josh Raymond had made. And it really cracked me up. And you have not heard this. And so I thought you'd get a kick out of it.
Okay.
This
is from the archives.
This is from the archives, and it's around the time when the taking, you know, Christ out of Christmas was big. So that's a part of it. But I don't want to
just
set
for
it up
reference.
Too much.
Josh Raymond is the host of the show that immediately follows this one. It's called The Inner Life.
Yeah, that's right. So you'll get a little taste of his humor here.
Let's do it.
Morning Air is proud to bring you, in connection with Lime Type Records, the best compilation of
holiday
music ever. There's no happier time of the year than
holiday.
And there's no better music than what you'll get in this collection. There's classics like Burl Ives.
Holiday.
It's the best time of the year.
Modern pop favorites like this one from Paul McCartney.
Holiday.
You'll get international flavors like this one.
Día festivo. Día festivo.
There's traditional carols.
We wish you a merry
holiday.
We wish you a merry
holiday.
And what
holiday
song collection would be complete without Bing Crosby?
I'm dreaming of a white
holiday.
From all of us here at Lime Tyfe, have a very merry
holiday.
that's pretty good. I think that
is that Josh's voice saying
it
holiday.
Is, I don't know whose voice it is. I couldn't tell you.
It could have been Mike Kendall.
That's who I thought it was. So I sent this to him last week. I'm like, hey Mike, is this you? And then he pointed me to Josh. He said, actually, Josh made this. So when I see Josh later today, I'll ask him about that.
And very funny.
Isn't that good? I think it's really fun. And then there was a little spot from your show a couple of years ago. And I know I have it. I have so many things on here. This is a spot from your show. And this is pretty funny. And I seriously doubt you remember this.
All right.
So here's the opportunity for relevant production.
And I can see it.
People will come.
What if we did like a Hallmark, a Very Mariani Christmas or something like that? That has kind of a ring to it, doesn't it?
What happens when a well-known Catholic radio broadcaster decides to make Christmas extra special for his wife and kids? The laughs are nonstop. Join us for a very Mariani Christmas.
Drew, honey, thanks for cooking Christmas dinner, but is that ham? Why is it black? And what is that green and red stuff on top of it?
Have you seen the cookie sprinkles?
A Merry Mariani Christmas.
Oh my, Drew, did you put reindeer antlers on the dog? She looks miserable and kind of embarrassed.
Join us for a Merry Mariani Christmas. Only on Relevant Radio.
I honestly had forgotten all about that, but now I remember it.
Yeah. So from the archives, but I got a kick. I got a kick out of those.
How could I have forgotten a Very Mariani Christmas?
I know.
Yeah. That is so good.
I thought that was going to be a yearly television special, and for some reason, you know, they haven't brought
it hasn't
that
been
up.
Optioned yet. No studio has bought it. Why not? Hey, by the way, who is one of our staff members. Is it Margaret who's doing the wife's voice?
It sure sounds like her.
It does sound like
Margaret. Yeah, I think that's who it is.
Okay.
Yeah,
a very Mariani Christmas. Yeah. Top that, Drew. Let's see what you got. All right.
Yeah, that's fun. And so that's all the fun stuff I have for now.
But did you know that the last time we got a batch of nasty grams that came in, one person actually complained about what he deemed to be a rivalry between me and Drew?
Uh-huh.
And he says, you're wasting time talking about this rivalry. I think he thought it was real.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not. We're just having fun.
All right. Let me just pop the balloon with a little bit of, Debbie Downer. I was really displeased to see this. In Spokane, Washington, Catholic Charities, you know, the place where you go around the holidays to get food and presents for your children or blankets or, you know, whatever you might need around the holidays. And thank God for Catholic Charities. They do great work all around the country. So two thumbs up for Catholic Charities, wherever they may be, and all the great things that they do. But this just rubbed me the wrong way. In Spokane, you want to go in and get some food assistance because you need it. You can't unless you have a COVID-19 vaccination proof. So if you're not vaxxed, you can't go in and get some food. Now, there is a loophole here. You can have a negative test that's got to be at least 72 hours old. But they put up this barrier, which to me completely defeats the purpose of what they're supposed to be doing. Jesus didn't say, come unto me, all you who are vaccinated, and I will give you rest. Everyone else stay away. You know, Jesus didn't say, for God so loved the world who is vaccinated. Jesus' love is for everybody. And we should not be discriminating, I don't believe anyway, in giving people the things that they need for their bodily health. You know, they need food. And especially around Christmas time, all the more reason to try to help people as Catholic Charities does so well. This just stuck in my craw. I don't know who made that decision, but I don't think it's the right way to go. I would say, you know, if you're that concerned about this issue, then maybe you just have a separate section where people who are not vaccinated or who don't have a test. I mean, those tests cost money, honey. And maybe the guy who's living behind the liquor store, you know, in a tent, doesn't have the money to go out and get a test that shows that he's negative on COVID, but he still needs to eat. They're going to keep him turned away. Sorry, no food for you. Why? It's Christmas. Well, show me your vaccination card. I don't have one. Show me your test that you're negative. I don't have one. I can't afford the test. Sorry, no food for you. That's how this comes across to me. And I wanted to make mention of it because I don't think it's right. I think we should be indiscriminate in our efforts to help the poor, whoever they may be, in whatever condition we may find them in. That's what Jesus would do, if you ask me. 888-914-9149. How about Mark in Menominee Falls, Wisconsin? Good morning, Mark.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call and the wonderful topic of Alzheimer's dementia. Yeah. I am a caregiver for my mother and for 6 years now. And first, I do want to say what a blessing it is to be a caregiver for somebody in that state of mind. It is not a burden. So if there are any listeners out there wondering which way to go, take care of them, because there are so many fantastic blessings. It's not a burden at all.
And give some examples of that, Mark, because I know many people who would say that's not been my experience. I've known people, including my own family, who have undergone great pain and great sorrow at seeing as they care for their loved one who's got dementia. And I'm not trying to disagree with you. All I'm saying is that in my experience, many people have the opposite experience. So maybe you can buck them up a little bit by giving some examples of what these blessings are that you've experienced.
Well, you know, it's a peace of mind that you're doing, you know, it's a peace of mind that you're doing everything for them that you can. It's been my experience that there is not good care out there in facilities and in home, and just the opportunity to take care of a family member, there's no greater joy than to see them survive longer than they would in one of those facilities where they become just a number and a statistic. And you know, my mother and I laugh about goofy things that we never would have laughed about in the past. You know, they say these off the wall things that just get you laughing, like, my gosh, my mother would never have said it bad in the past. You know, very clean things, very right. humorous things. Just opportunities that are not going to be there if you're just dumping them off in an assisted living.
Right. Yeah, I totally hear that. And I, first of all, kudos to you, Mark, that you're doing the honorable thing to take care of your mom this way. You know, I have not had to do that personally, but I've often thought about what would my attitude be in a similar situation. And I often think about, well, when I was an infant, when I couldn't care for myself, and even for years afterward when I was a child, my parents changed my diapers, my parents fed me, my parents made sure I got proper sleep and medicine if I got sick, and they took care of me and they guarded me and they provided for me for all those years before I got into my, you know, my teen years when I could start doing that for myself. So I personally, and maybe you feel the same way, I've recognized that I have, in a certain sense, I owe them repayment. If it comes to that, I owe them repayment for all the ways that they cared for me when I was little, and now it's my turn to care for them, which I think is very beautiful when you think about it. And I know you know that, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, I'm seeing blessings from the Lord that in areas that I would not need blessings. You know, it's amazing what kind of blessings that, you know, you get. You know, my mother does not have sufficient sleep patterns. She'll be up doing this and up doing that and staying awake and talking. But, you know, I think, my gosh, I got to get up for work tomorrow and I'm going to be tired. But, you know, the Lord is far above and beyond that. And he has given me the ability to survive in ways that I wouldn't normally survive with, you know, with 3-4 hours of sleep. I'm thinking, how am I going to make it at work tomorrow? But, you know, it's fascinating because the Lord just does come through in ways that you can never imagine when you're taking care of somebody with, you know, with cognitive issues True. Like this. It's just blessing after blessing.
And, you know, you're personifying the fulfillment of the commandment to honor your father and mother. And this has fallen to you now to serve your mother in this way. Has your father passed on yet, or is he still alive?
He is still alive. Unfortunately, okay. He and I are not in each other's lives, and that's a whole other story.
I see. But, okay. I don't need to pry.
My mother, not at all, not at all. My mother raised me, and I wish I could just quit my full-time job and take care of her full-time, but unfortunately, that's not the reality that I live in, but maybe one day.
Well, what you are doing in the moment is certainly praiseworthy, Mark, so God bless you for what you're
absolutely,
doing.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's a fantastic blessing. My mother and I go to church every week. She was married in a Catholic church. She was a confirmation sponsor for my cousin, but I have no memory of her ever talking about being baptized. I would assume that she was being able to be married in the church and going to church and taking communion, but I don't like assumption. She comes from a small little mining town up in Michigan where church was a big thing. And, you know, they all went, and she talked about, you know, going to church on Sunday and putting on her best dress and all this kind of stuff.
Raised Protestant?
I'm assuming that she was Baptist.
Okay.
I'm sorry?
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. Was she raised Protestant? So if there's a way, I mean, do you even know the name of the church that she attended growing up?
It's not there anymore because nothing in those small mining towns make it. So it's been gone for many years.
Yeah, no, I can just imagine. Well, if I were in your shoes, Mark, and there was no way to know with any degree of certitude whether or not your mom had ever been validly baptized, I would ask the parish priest to conditionally baptize her. That way, no matter what,
okay,
she's got baptism. Did she become Catholic when she married your father?
No, she was Catholic all her life.
Oh, okay. Well, for some reason, I got the impression that she converted to the Catholic Church because she was raised Baptist.
Oh, no. She was raised Catholic. They went to church every Sunday, and, you know, she talked about going to church every Sunday as a kid and putting on her best dress and all this kind of stuff and the best clothes and all that. So she was raised Catholic. You know, she's always received communion, but I just don't remember her ever talking about, you know, any memories of her being baptized. I would assume she was. But I don't like assumptions.
I hear you. So that's what I would recommend. And even if now, at this point of her illness, if she's not able to remember much about her life, I would recommend what I said earlier, Mark. Just say, hey, Mom, I know that you love God, right? Yeah, I love God. Are you sorry for your sins, whatever sins you committed during your life? Yeah. You want to be happy with God in heaven, right? Yeah. Well, can I have the priest come and give you a blessing, and maybe he can give you a conditional baptism, just in case you weren't baptized before. Oh, I was baptized when I was little. Maybe she'll know that. But you can ask her these things, and if she's willing to do it, I would definitely have the priest come over and take care of your mom that way.
Conditional baptism. Okay, I'm writing that down.
Right. And what that means is, I have to run for a break, but simply put, what it means is that if your mom had not been baptized, then this baptism would be her baptism, because a valid baptism cannot be repeated. So the way he would baptize her is, as he's pouring the water over her head, he would say, if you have not already been baptized, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And then, presuming that she never had been baptized, she would now be baptized and good to go. If she had been baptized validly before, then this would have just been a precaution that wouldn't have amounted to anything. But she would still be in a position to receive the sacraments either way. So she could receive Holy Communion, she could be confirmed, etc. And that too, maybe she already was confirmed as a little girl. You can inquire about that. But at the very least, receiving Holy Communion and going to confession if she was baptized before. Anyway, Mark, thank you. I admire your duty and your dedication to your mom. I'll be right back. You have a special place in God's plan for the world. Learning about Christ's role in history can change your life and strengthen your faith. Right now, get free access to Christendom College's online history class at principlesclasses.com/Madrid.
Compelling insights, unpredictable conversations, encouragement for your day. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio. Alegres
de corazón. Different song, Cyrus, but this one still works.
He just told me it was the one.
I thought Noche de Paz was what we were going to do.
All right.
But I did grant you a waiver because this is kind of like Taco Tuesday music, but we're playing it on a Monday.
Yeah, I'll be playing it again tomorrow.
It's Taco Tuesday somewhere. People are buzzing about this Swedish company's video that's on all over social media right now about a microchip implanted in your hand, so that you can pass through COVID portals, and I will tell you a little bit about that. People are buzzing. I even got an email from a listener today. Say, hey, I hope you're going to talk about this. Yep, it's been on my list. And by the way, thank you for that email. But yeah, that's been on my list for the last couple of days now. Just, we have to get through the weekend and get to the show on Monday. Cyrus, you know that several times running in the last, I don't know, 4 or 5 months, at my speaking events around the country, there have been people who come up and hand me a roll of duct tape for you.
Love it.
Yeah. And it got me to think. One lady came up. She didn't say a word. She just handed me. She had a big smile on her face. She just handed me the duct tape. She didn't have to say anything. And then she burst out laughing because I burst out laughing and she knew. And I knew what she meant.
Great.
So if we go through this
stuff.
I shouldn't
waste it though.
Yeah.
Yeah, I better not waste it.
Give me another piece. Thank you. And let me get that tamped down because you never know what will happen. There's still an hour and a half left in the program and it's possible that we might need that. So this is preemptive. But I got to thinking just briefly that if we ever, you know how Prince, he got away from using the name Prince and he just had a symbol.
Yeah, the artist formerly known as Prince.
Right. Yeah. And then there's some elaborate symbol. Well, I think the symbol for you, Cyrus Simcoe, could just be a roll of duct tape.
Okay, then your symbol.
Like the golden arches. Everybody knows what that means. Then you don't have to say McDonald's.
Your symbol would have to be a taco.
Ooh, I like that. I like that a lot. That works. So if you see somewhere, we'll have to see if we can't get a logo maker to make this. Have a giant taco standing on top of a roll of duct tape.
People be like, oh, that's the Patrick Madrid show.
They'll know. Yeah, they'll know exactly what that means. All right, good.
All right.
So that's taken care of. Let's check that box off.
Note to self, I'll work on that.
Yeah. Let's go to Yvonne in Whittier, California. Hi, Yvonne.
Hi, Patrick. I have a question. I wonder if you have a recommendation for a facility or program or some advice for someone who is suffering from severe anxiety and depression. I pray with a prayer group every day, and last night we prayed for this young woman. She has two young kids, but about a year ago, she lost her fiancé. They were to be married a month before he passed away. Mm. And she's gone through the normal grieving process, but now it's been over a year, and she seems to be getting worse instead of better. She's gotten to the point where just recently she quit her job because she felt like she couldn't do it. So I know
how's she taking care of her children?
That I don't know. We just prayed for her. Some people in the group bring to the table people that they know who need prayer, and so we prayed for her.
Is she in your area?
Yes.
Okay.
They didn't go into the details. They just said that we need to pray for her because she has to snap out of this. Mm-hmm. But I know you don't just snap out of depression. You need help. So I'm wondering if you – I know I hear you recommend programs or places for people.
I've got some recommendations. I do. And it's convenient that she's in Southern California. I would suggest that she get in touch with the Carmelite Sisters of the Most Sacred Heart of Los Angeles. And they're good friends of the network for many years. They pray for Relevant Radio every day. And we love them very much. I've known them for over 30 years. And I can tell you that they would be a priceless resource for this young woman. Even if she were to just go up there and spend some time in prayer, she could make an appointment to speak to one of the sisters. And they also have women's retreats throughout the year. So it might be another way for her to heal from whatever the wounds are. And if she can get some babysitting, she can go up and do a women's retreat and get some healing that way. Their website is CarmeliteSistersOCD.com. CarmeliteSistersOCD.com. OCD stands for Order of Discalced Carmelites in English. And they will be, I'm sure if you tell, if you called or if she called, just be sure to mention my name and say that Patrick Madrid recommended that she get in touch to see if they might be willing to meet with her. And maybe they can give her some really good advice on a local therapist who can be of help to her, especially if she has some kind of a clinical depression.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I are they at the retreat house in Arcadia or near Arcadia?
No, they're in Alhambra. So.
Oh, Alhambra. Yes, Alhambra. Yeah. I just started with it. I think I've been there for a weekend retreat. It's a very lovely place.
It is. It is indeed. And the sisters are very gracious and loving and welcoming. They have a beautiful gift shop there. The chapel is beautiful. I mean, the whole grounds are beautiful. And this is where the mother house is. They have other convents in other places. But I can assure you, because I know them so well, that they would be a really good first place to start. And I have a feeling that they are well connected with therapists, for example, who would be in a position to offer help. Now, another suggestion would be Joe Sikora, a friend of the network, and his name is, well, Joe, and then S-I-K-O-R-R-A. And if you go to joesikora.com, you can get in touch with him. He lives in the Valley, so that's not far from Whittier at all, within an hour's drive. And he specializes in marriage and family therapy. So even though she doesn't necessarily need marriage therapy, he would be a good Catholic therapist in her area who could help her or could refer her. So that'd be my other suggestion.
Okay.
Well, thank you, Yvonne. It's kind of you to be looking after this young woman, and I pray that she will have the healing that she needs. Thank you. Let's go to Bernice now in Graham, Washington. Hello, Bernice.
Hi, Patrick. Thank you for taking my call. I wanted to answer your question on what could be a blessing in caring for somebody who has dementia or Alzheimer's. And
oh, I have no question about that. I absolutely believe there are countless blessings. I was only referring, when I was talking to that earlier gentleman, for the sake of those who don't see those blessings, because for many of them, it's painful and it's sorrowful. And I'm looking for opportunities, like hopefully you'll give us one, where people can see some of the positive sides of caring for people. But I myself am definitely aware of them. Just want to make that part clear.
Yes. Well, I wanted to say back in 2013, I was living in Washington. Good job. Everything was going well. And my sister called and said, we're going to put mom in a nursing care facility because we can't take care of her. And I couldn't understand that. I was like, what do you mean? And she stated to me that it was just too much for her and my brother, and they couldn't do it. I quit my job, moved down 1,400 miles to Southern California, and, you know, got an apartment and had my mom come live with me. And it was the greatest blessing of my life in many ways. For 6 years, I cared for her when they told me it was going to be less than a year. And I couldn't have been any happier.
I imagine.
It gave me a time to get to know my mom, because she could remember things of her childhood, things that I never knew, things about when she first met my dad. And she was a dancer. She almost, she would dance in places, you know, like swing, and it was amazing. And she recounted different things about her childhood that I had no idea of. And it helped me see my mom in a completely different way. We had always been close, but this had brought me closer to her. And I remember one day I said, Mama, I said, you know, you're going to die soon. And she looked at me and she goes, nope, I'm not going to die till you get married. And I was like, oh my God. I said, well, that's not going to happen. So I guess you're going to live forever. And, she says, I'm afraid to die. And I said, why? I mean, she would pray, and I'm not kidding you. The lady downstairs complained because my mom would pace saying her rosary five times. Mm-hmm. She would say the rosary five times a day for each of us children. Mm-hmm. And I said, why would you be afraid to die? And she kind of looked down and she looked at me kind of a side eye and she said, I've been bad. And I just started to laugh. This little old lady, I said, Mama, I said, you've gone to confession. You've done all these things. You're good to go. And, you know, she slowly deteriorated. She got an infection and it went into sepsis. And thankfully, before she lost cognitive skills, I did have a priest come and give her Holy Communion and absolution. And it was difficult at that time, but she loved music. And every time I played songs from Dean Martin and Frank Sinatra and, you know, all of those old-time people, and she would just, I mean, Placido Domingo
Did she receive the sacraments before she died? I think you mentioned the priest. So do you think
died
in the state
of grace? I took her to church every Sunday.
That's good. Well, what a beautiful story, Bernice, and the fact that your mother benefited from that together time with you. And, you know, the point that you made that she said, well, I've been bad. Well, I think every one of us can say that. And that's part of the message of Jesus, is that, yeah, you've been bad. Yeah, you've done things. And, you know, by rights, of course, you would go to hell, but I've come to save you. And it's kind of like the man, I remember reading this in a book, and what you said kind of reminded me of that, Bernice. Thank you. And again, God bless you for taking such good care of your mom. It's a story by, it was a book rather by, the name is going to, it's going to escape me, Christopher something. But the book was called That Strange Divine Sea. And he gives an example of a man who's reading in his upstairs, you know, study next to the fireplace. He's in a comfortable chair, enjoying his good book. And all of a sudden, the window crashes in, and a fireman who's covered with soot and grime, he sticks his head in, and he shouts at him. He says, you know, come with me right away. The house is on fire. Christopher Derrick, thank you. The house is on fire. Come, he so rudely interrupts his reverie and says, come with me right now. The house, the building's on fire. And the man sitting in the chair says, well, sir, I don't see any fire. I don't smell any smoke. Everything seems fine with me. And besides, I'm very comfortable here and I like what I'm doing. And by the way, why are you barging in on me like this? So this conversation ensues. And the fireman says, I'm here to save you. The building is on fire. If you hesitate, if you don't, you know, come with me, then the fire is going to burn the building down. You're going to go with it. And the point of this vignette in this book, this, That Strange Divine Sea, is a way to get our attention to see, you know, so for you personally, to see that Jesus is like that fireman. And you may feel very comfortable with your life. You may feel very comfortable with your possessions and your health and whatever other comforts you have. We all have some, I guess, but that comfort, of course, is short-lived. And so Jesus is like that fireman who is crashing through the window with the smoke and the grime on his face and saying, come with me right now, get on this ladder. I can get you out of this burning building, but you've got to come with me and I can save you. And for some people, the comforts of this life are just a little too much for them and they're not willing to give that up, and then all is lost in the end. So kind of dovetailing with what Bernice was saying about how in the final stages of her mother's life, the sacraments and all that, it's never too late. Until the soul leaves the body, it's not too late. So if you're in a situation where you can help somebody, you can preach the gospel to that person, you can encourage that person to come back to the sacraments, get baptized, etc., it's never too late. And I wonder if in heaven we will only find out there, I have a feeling we will only find out in heaven, all those lost opportunities for grace where you could have helped somebody if only you had said something, or if only you had roused yourself out of your slumbers or out of your comfort to do something. Now, I say that as much to myself as to you or anyone else, so it's, we're all in this together. But let's not neglect these opportunities for grace, especially as people like Bernice's mom are heading toward the end of their lives. Let's come back with more of your phone calls right here on the Patrick Madrid Show. My number is 888-914-9149. And yes, when we return, I'm going to tell you about this new Swedish company that is delivering your COVID-proof chip into your hand. I'll tell you about that as well on the other side of this timeout. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio Line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/forester.
Buffalo girls, can't you come out tonight? Can't you come out tonight? Can't you come out tonight? Buffalo girls, can't you come out tonight? And dance by the light of the moon.
Well, what do you want, Mary? You want the moon? No? You want to listen to the Patrick Madrid Show? Well, I guess he gives good advice.
All right, Buffalo Gal. Buffalo Gal, won't you come out tonight? All righty. Patrick Madrid Show here. Patrick Madrid reporting for duty. We're a little more than halfway through the program today, but there's still time to get you on the air. My number is 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Real quick, this is making the rounds of social media right now, and I think we have a little bit of audio from the video. A Swedish company is making headlines. This is reported by the Daily Wire, Megan Basham. A Swedish company is making headlines by calling to mind a nightmarish image for Christians around the world. Now, the nightmarish image, I'll just fast forward. It has to do with the mark of the beast. Okay. Getting the mark of the beast, as it says in the book of Revelation, in your hand or your forehead, and those, whether, you know, great or small, wealthy, poor, doesn't matter, everyone in between. The book of Revelation says there will come a time when the beast of Revelation will insist that everybody has this mark on his hand or on his forehead. And without that mark, you're not going to be able to buy and sell, go and do, etc. Now, for the last 2 years, people have been wondering, and I've spent some time talking about it on this program, to what extent could the current circumstances with people getting the shot, the vaccine, could that be, I don't know. Some people are convinced that this is the mark of the beast. It's not the mark of the beast. Please understand that. Getting an immunization is not the mark of the beast. Biblically speaking, the mark of the beast will be something that specifically says that you worship the beast, that you are in league with the Antichrist, you worship the beast, you accept all that that entails, and this is not that. Think of it what you will, whether you're opposed to it or in favor of it in terms of the vaccination. This is not the mark of the beast. And anyone who tells you that it is doesn't know what he's talking about. Will there be a mark of the beast at some point? Yeah, absolutely. The Bible says so. So we don't discount that prophecy at all. Furthermore, is it possible that now, even though heretofore in all of human history, there has never been the technological ability to put a mark on somebody that can control all of the denizens of planet Earth in real time, that has never been a possibility before these recent days. Well, recent years, let's put it that way. So it's now possible to do that. And yes, we've talked on this program before about, for example, what MIT in its technology review publication had pointed out a couple of years ago. I shared it with you on the program then, that it would be easy to put a mark on your body that would be subcutaneous, it would be scannable, it would be an invisible tattoo, for lack of a better term, that could be administered when you received a vaccination of some sort, not necessarily this one. And then that would obviate the need for having a piece of paper that says you've been vaccinated or having a QR code on your phone that says you've been vaccinated, because obviously you could lose your phone or you could forge the piece of paper. Are there any ways in which that could be gotten around? So if you just put two and two together, it makes complete sense in terms of practicality that some genius is going to say, well, I know, why don't we just put it in your body or put a tattoo on your arm where you receive the vaccine? That way, you never have to worry about losing the piece of paper or somebody forging it. You never have to lose about the QR code maybe on your phone not being accurate, or you lose your phone. We'll just put it on your body.
That, and then when you walk through the scanner. And then, I mean, super you convenient. Can, and kids, you know, in New York, if you're 5 years old, you have to have your proof of vaccination card, and kids are always losing everything. So let's just implant them. Wow. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. I mean,
that's
this,
sarcasm,
you know,
just
you
in
and
case
I,
anyone got mad at me.
Isn't it sad that you have to tell people I'm being sarcastic? No, but I know what you mean. And this is something that you and I have talked about. I've talked about it, I don't want to say endlessly, but I've talked about it many times, about how it just makes sense. Not that I'm endorsing this. I'm not endorsing this. I don't like the idea of it. But if you're looking at it from a utilitarian standpoint, if you're the government and you want to make sure that there's no black market for fake COVID vaccination cards, as was rampant all around the world in recent months, this is one way to stop that. I mean, you could easily now, because we have the technological prowess, you could easily now administer a vaccine or something, doesn't necessarily have to be an immunization, that would carry with it a kind of mark that then would be indelible, probably not something you would think much about, but without which you would not be able to go into the grocery store and buy groceries. And when people saw this story pop up, which is not the first time, stories like this have been around for years. It just happens to be on the forefront right now on social media. And in this case, it has to do with this Swedish company. The company's called Epicenter. The company's chief disruptor, Hans Sjöblad, demonstrated how the product the size of a grain of rice has been adapted as a COVID passport. It's implanted under the skin in your arm or your hand. And as soon as, you know, like we're going to plant something in your hand, immediately people who are biblically literate think, wait a minute, this is what it says in the book of Revelation. You start reading about in context, start reading in Revelation chapter 13 and read into chapter 13, 14, and 15. And what you see is as the beast of the revelation of Revelation rises, he's in league with the Antichrist. He's not the Antichrist, it seems, but he's in league with him. And then there's the image of the beast that the beast causes people to worship. Part of all this system is you get a mark on your hand or in your forehead, and that's how you can buy and sell, and that means that you belong to the Antichrist system. So simply put, that's the essence of that part of Revelation. So when people see something like this, naturally, they're going to say, wait a minute, is this the mark of the beast? Now, I'm here to say, again, that getting the vaccination is not the mark of the beast. But at some point, there will be some kind of mark of the beast. Is it nearby? Maybe. Is it far from now? I don't know. Could be right around the corner. I don't know. And I'm not predicting anything. Because as Jesus said, no one knows the day nor the hour. Only the Father does. So no predictions here about when the end of the world is happening. But it doesn't take a brainiac to understand that it's possible that we are living in the end times. It's possible now, technologically, for governments, even a worldwide government, should there ever be one, to be able to harness our technology to be able to put a mark like this on every living creature all around the world. It was never possible to do that before. It is possible now. Sjöblad said the company developed the tech for other purposes, but quickly realized it had potential for a use as a kind of COVID passport, storing data about vaccine status that can be read by any device using the near-field communication NFC protocol. Implants are a very versatile technology that can be used for many different things, he said. Right now, it's very convenient to have COVID passports always accessible on your implant. Now, Cyrus, you've got a little audio, which we can play. I've got some more information in the article, but let's play that audio. This is sort of condensed down, isn't it, from the longer audio?
Yeah, so most of the little video that I've linked to on Twitter is just music with just showing how easy it is to put your arm out and you can put your phone up to your arm and it scans.
Beep. You beep. Get a scan. It's beep. Like when you're at the
you're
grocery
clear.
Store.
You can go. Beep. You can come in and beep. Get bananas.
Yeah.
Or not stay away.
You I'm, want I'm wine? Back. I'm sorry. You have to be scanned to get your box of wine.
Yeah. So this is from the horse's mouth, and he's just saying, you know, how this is so convenient. They're going to sell this with convenience.
This is the guy from the company Epicenter in Sweden.
Implants are a very versatile technology that can be used for many different things. And right now, it's very convenient to have a COVID passport always accessible on your implant.
Yeah, just always have it accessible.
Is he in ABBA? He sounds like one of the guys from ABBA.
That I couldn't tell you.
Waterloo. Okay, keep going. Is there more to it?
That's it. That's the only thing in the video that he says.
It's kind of an infomercial type of video because it's mainly just text.
Right.
So anyway, so people are buzzing about it. Please understand, everybody who's buzzing about it, this is not new. Is it ominous? Yeah, I could see why people would think it's ominous. Sure. I mean, if you believe the Bible, as I do, sure. I mean, I could easily understand and I can see why people see this and get a little jittery. But don't be jittery. And for this reason, if you read from the book of Revelation, chapter 13 and forward, what you see is that this is part of the Antichrist system that is intended to demonstrate that you are lock, stock, and barrel going along with it. Now, I know you. Even if I haven't met you, I know you are not going to be down with the Antichrist system. So please be aware that people who talk about this as if this were right now, you know, like Dr. Fauci, as if he were the beast of Revelation, Some people are shaking their heads like, well, maybe he is. Please. I don't think we should give people that much credit. But my point is that let's take a balanced approach to this issue. And on the one hand, acknowledge, yes, indeed, there will be something like this that could happen in our lifetimes. It could be rolled out next month. It could be 1,000 years away. We just don't know because Jesus did not reveal that to us. So we wait patiently. We watch and pray as he said to do. We read the signs of the times, and yes, take note of the fact that now the technology is capable of doing this, but don't freak out about it, because I really do believe, based upon the text and studying it and, you know, looking at what commentators have had to say on this issue, I really do believe that nobody's going to slip this to you without your knowing exactly what it is and agreeing to it. And otherwise, there would be no sin involved, you see. The Bible talks about those who sin by accepting the mark of the beast. Well, the sin would be that you would have to consent to the designs of the beast, which would include worshiping him. And I know for a fact, because I know many of these people personally, that there are those who have, you know, they're fine with vaccinations, they receive vaccinations, etc., and they wouldn't for a minute cooperate with the Antichrist system should it arise in their lifetime. So don't freak out about this. And just remember that if there were no sin involved, then people would not be punished for receiving the mark of the beast. And those who do will be punished. So you can't, I mean, unless you're a child under the age of reason, or you're a little baby, or somebody with dementia, or somebody who's, you know, mentally retarded. I'm trying to think of examples of people who would not even then be guilty of a sin because they don't have the wherewithal to know right from wrong. They would be exempt. But when the time comes, whenever that may be, and the mark of the beast is rolled out, whatever form that may be, if you're around, you will have the option to say, yes, okay, give it to me. I realize that means I'm signing up and I'm agreeing with, you know, at least part of the Antichrist system. You know, buying groceries is more important to me than staying faithful to Jesus. There will come a time when that will happen. All I'm saying is we're not in that time right now. So don't let this video freak you out. And don't take it too far. And don't say, oh, look, because there's this company in Sweden and they've been doing that for years. You know, you can go on the YouTubes and find videos from 10 years ago of companies doing the very same thing, putting a grain of rice-sized chip into somebody's hand so that they can access the, you know, the badge-controlled areas of the office where you'd have to have a badge. You swipe your badge, you get in the door. In this case, you simply wave your hand in front of it. There are videos that are 10 years old of companies doing that. So I'm not making light of this issue, but I'm trying to put it into perspective. Cyrus, I think you understand what I'm saying, right? We don't want to freak out over something that's not worthy of the freak out.
So this is the mark of the beast?
Well, I mean, there's so many people who are really thinking about these issues, and rightly so. I mean, I think it's wise of us to be thinking along these lines so that we can be attentive and prayerful and watchful.
Is it okay not to want this even if I don't think it's the mark of the beast?
To want a rice-sized chip implanted in your hand?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Okay. I wouldn't want one. You know, if the Swedish company I worked for, well, I don't work for a Swedish company, but if I did and they said, hey, your price of employment is you've got to have one of these in your hand, I'd say, okay, I pass. I'm going to be out on the... I'm going to be out looking for another job. So, no, I don't want one for obvious reasons. But let's just keep it in perspective. I'll be right back. Hour 3 is just around the corner. I'll be right back. No.